Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. Glad to have you along again on this Saturday morning as we continue to learn more about people, places, and things of Jessamine County. Well, today we're going to be talking about a fellow whose name is very well known, not only in our county, but all over Kentucky and, well, all over the United States and even some places in the world. His name was Ricky Corman. R.J. Corman and his son Jay will be here in just a moment as we remember his dad, Rick, and what he contributed to our community. Right after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you as we learn a little bit more about our county and the people and the places and things that are involved. Today I'm privileged to have with me Jay Corman, who is the son of Ricky Corman, who names probably one of the most recognized name, not only in our county, but in our state and across the country for that matter, because of his business that he had with railroads. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning.
I appreciate you coming in, and we're going to learn a little bit more about your dad and your family and what all is going on, even today, as the company continues to thrive and doing what it does. First off, if you can, maybe we need to talk a little bit about your background as far as your family, your dad's family, and how it all came about.
Sure.
I wish I had found it, but I have a picture, and I will find it someday and share it with you, that was made back in the 20s of your great-grandmother Lucy Corman and my grandmother Dixie Rohr, and they were dressed, believe it or not, in flapper dresses with the old time hats. They evidently, back when they were young teens or young in 20s, they knew each other and they hung out together. It is a really funny picture if you look at it. I will find it and share it with you. But I know that both your grandparents, great grandparents, Mr. Carl and Miss Lucy, were from here and been around here for a long time. Yeah. Now, their home place out around the Jessamine Station area where your dad lived.
Yes. Well, my dad grew up about a quarter mile from where the shop facilities are now, right on Jessamine Creek. And their parents, my mamma and pappy is what I call them.
Right.
They grew up right down from the shop right on Jessamine Station. My whole family actually comes from that street.
Well, now, Carl, and of course, Carl farmed, I believe. That was his main occupation.
Farmer.
And Lucy was there working beside him just as hard, I'm sure. But now, there was three kids, I think, that came out of that union, if I'm correct. It was three sons, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And then Carl, Unc, that we know, and then there was Clay, but then there was Jay.
Yes.
And that was your granddad, who you are named
who
for.
Who I'm named after, yes.
And in fact, I think if you go down Jessamine Station past where Ricky lived when he died, on towards the original place where the shop was.
Yes.
In that little road called Jay Station?
Jay Station, yeah.
After your granddad.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. Now, he worked for the State Road Department, I believe.
He did. He was a farmer as well, but he worked, he drawed a paycheck from the state.
And a long time, I think, as far as I can remember. Really nice.
I'm not sure how long, but it was.
Yeah. So out of Jay, now Jay was married to who? Who was Ricky?
Maudie.
And was she from here?
I believe so.
Okay. But out of that came two children.
Yeah, Sandy and my dad, Rick.
Now, before we get a little bit more into Rick, let's mention Sandy, because Sandy's still around. A lot of people in this county know Sandy and her husband and Adams, Jerry.
Jerry, yes.
Who works for your company.
He does.
But Sandy, for those that don't know, is the owner of our local Zaxby's. She has some, I think she got one Harrisburg, Frankfurt, maybe Richmond.
Frankfurt, Richmond.
Yeah.
And Danville.
Yeah. A lot of play. Very successful with that business. And Sandy's very good in our community. We appreciate her. That's your aunt.
Yes.
But your dad was he older than Sandy?
He was. Yes, he was.
Okay. So your dad came along and went to Jessamine County High.
Mm-hmm.
Typical Jessamine County boy running around here, just probably getting in trouble like all of us did.
Yeah, he missed 105 days of his senior year at Jessamine County High School.
But he graduated.
He graduated,
Was it just because he was working?
He was on that backhoe, yeah.
Yeah. Working. So he got into it pretty early, I guess.
He did. Yeah. He did. He worked for Clay.
Yeah.
His uncle was a teenager.
Yeah.
And he got into construction work when he was a teenager and continued on throughout high school and then after he graduated from high school.
Now, he just knew that that was his life.
Yes.
I guess early on he knew that's what it was. And, of course, it led on into other things as far as the railroad, and we'll get into that. Before we do get down that road too much further, tell us about your brothers and sisters, Ricky's children.
Well, okay. The oldest being Amy. Paige is her last name now. She was born on 7-7 of 77.
Really?
I can always remember her birthday. So she'll be 40 years old this year.
Was Amy have occupation?
Yes. Amy works part-time up in Lexington. Mm-hmm. She has a master's degree from EKU for economics.
All right.
So she's smarter than me. And then there's RJ, who's the next oldest. And he lives in North Carolina as the dean of a flight school down there. He's a pilot.
Really? Now, you mentioned RJ. Your dad was RJ. Mm-hmm. Was your granddad JRJ?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
No, that's one I don't know. I'm not sure of my granddad's middle name. Don't know if he had a middle name.
Okay. So your brother, RJ, did he go by that?
Richard Justin.
Yeah, he's in the piloting, and I guess, did he take that from your dad's interest in it?
I think, he got his commercial license by the time he was 22.
Wow.
And so he started young.
Yeah.
And as a flight instructor as well, and he just loves to fly.
That's Do you?
Fun. No, no.
That's one thing you didn't get into.
No, I didn't get into flying too much. I don't have the love for it that he does.
What made your dad get into it? Do you know? Did he just want something he wanted to do?
Oh, he believed where he was traveling and doing the construction work that he was doing, he believed that he could use the helicopter for work and as a means to get around much, much quicker to jobs.
Was that the first thing he learned to fly, was the helicopter?
He learned to fly a fixed wing, but helicopter was the first thing he really flew. He was mainly a rotorcraft pilot.
But now he went on to fly bigger planes than just that, didn't he?
No.
Oh, did he stick to that?
He stuck to the helicopter.
Really?
He piloted the helicopters until his cancer would not allow him to keep going with his medical card.
And that makes a difference. I mean, you've got to be in good shape to be in the air like that. But a lot of people, when going by, especially the new place now, you're able to see in the glass the jet and the different aircraft that are located there on the bypass. So we got Amy and we got RJ.
Amy and RJ. Then I was the next one to come. After me, I was born in 86. Then Shauna was born in 88. And my younger sister, April, was born in 89.
Now, what's Shauna up to?
Shauna's in law school.
Really?
Yeah, Shauna's going to be a lawyer.
Good.
So she's going to be smarter than me, too.
And then, and April?
April graduated from Transy University, and she is working up at the office right now.
Yeah.
She's in charge of our events that we do.
Oh, okay. All right. So what have you done with your life? Before we get to your dad and a little more, tell us about you and your family.
Well, I got my wife, Becky, and two kids. I got Katie, which I delivered right here on the farm.
Really?
In the front seat of our car. We didn't make it to the hospital with her. So she was born on right beside the barn out there on the a family farm.
Was that before, I have to say this, was that before or after the ambulatory center out here?
That was after.
So even with
the first place I took her was that hospital, and that was shortly after her grandfather passed away. And
yeah.
I remember looking up there that his name on that hospital building, think, man, I'm so glad this is here.
Yeah, and a lot of people, if you are maybe even if you do live here, but if you don't, we have this center out on the bypass, and you will see R.J. Corman's name on it. He was very, very instrumental in helping make sure that facility was located, because we didn't have anything like that in this county forever. And I remember Tim talking at the dedication mm-hmm. about how many stoplights yeah. you had to go through to get to St. Joe, and it's amazing. And I'm glad. That's kind of nice that you were able to take your daughter to that. Now, your other child is...
My other child, Ricky. Mm-hmm. He's Richard Edward. We call him Ricky. And he was just born in December of this last year.
Oh, so brand new.
Brand new, yeah.
Great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So what are you doing? Are you involved with the company?
I'm the chairman of the trust that owns the company, mm-hmm. and we have regular meetings, and all of us trustees are very much involved mm-hmm. with the operations of the company right now.
So this was a trust your dad set up before he died to
mm-hmm.
make sure that this company continued in a good fashion and took care of all those employees.
Yes.
All right, let's revert. Now we know about Ricky's kids. Let's revert back to Ricky. Ricky got out of high school, had already learned how to do all this construction stuff. And I remember one of the first things that I ever saw, I guess, and recognized with Ricky, and I've seen the picture more than once, is when he was able to use the backhoe to get up on between the train cars or something like that.
He'd use it to climb up on the rail cars.
Yeah, which was pretty amazing, a feat in itself. But he just loved to do that kind of thing, didn't he?
He did. It was his passion. He really enjoyed just the aspect of how much he could accomplish
mm-hmm.
within a day of whether it was building a track or unloading cars. He really just enjoyed the physical work in general.
Now, when he went out on his own, when mm-hmm. when he had his own company, was it in railroad to start?
It was his first job.
Yeah.
He got doing crossings for a tie gang coming across the railroad out here. And he went out there, worked all day, didn't do a thing because they couldn't get any train. They couldn't get any track time. That train's running.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that he didn't think that there was any way he was going to be able to make a living out on the railroad because mm-hmm. he couldn't ever get the time to work until the foreman came up and said, no, we pay you whether you work or not. And he said, this is the business for me.
That's funny. And you know, you don't think about it, Jay, but yeah, I mean, you can't just go out and start your job when you want. You got to make sure that there's no locomotives coming down that track because they still have to do their work and get things delivered.
They're who pays you.
That's pretty amazing. All right, so he starts out doing that. Kind of take us down mm-hmm. the road and the progression of the R.J. Corman Railroad Group.
Start out doing that, and then he got a job unloading rail cars. He was the first to climb up in the gondolas, like you were mentioning, mm-hmm. and unload the train cars with his backhoe. And they were so impressed by that was the method and they used to get ties out of the cars mm-hmm. after that. And he had much more work to come. He started a train derailment service up in Toledo, Ohio. Soon after that, wanting to clean up train derailments and get into the emergency mm-hmm. side of it. And start a few more divisions out of Toledo. And so first came the R.J. Corman Railroad Construction, which is what he used to do the car unloading and mm-hmm. maintenance on the tracks. Then came the R.J. Corman Derailment Services.
Now, all of this started down the road from Jessamine Station.
Mm-hmm.
I guess for listeners' sake, folks, if you've ever been to or seen the fireworks, it's down the road from that. That's a good way to just, people know that.
Mm-hmm.
Go on down the road in the curve there. And that's where you guys started. And of course, it's still there, but that's the part of it.
That is.
So he went on to Ohio. And then I guess with the derailment and it just became nation, you know, a lot of work all over the nation then, didn't it?
I'm sure. Well, before that, railroads cleaned up their own train derailments. Mm-hmm. Railroads really did most of the work themselves. Mm-hmm. And this was a time and era where they were starting to subcontract out a lot of work, even some of the short lines, mm-hmm. and which is how we got into the short line business, mm-hmm. to other contractors to be more efficient. Okay. And so they really loved my dad's company because he had a, like you say, he had a passion for it. And he was a lot more dedicated than some people mm-hmm. that were doing the work mm-hmm. at that time and made sure the work got done right and got done efficiently.
Yeah. And, of course, that business still goes on today, I guess.
It does.
And you don't think, Jay. I mean, normal people don't think, they hear on the news that a train has wrecked. Mm-hmm, and they don't think any more about it. But, folks, I mean, according to what's on that train especially, I mean, this can be some dangerous work, making sure that's all cleaned up. And, you know, if cars fall and it's full of stuff, whatever that stuff is, that's got to be cleaned up, and it's a big job. Mm-hmm. It's because you've got to clear that railway, I'm assuming, to make room for other trains to come through,
sure.
too. So.
Yeah, it's like a fiber optics line. Any minute that rail line is down, the railroads are losing money.
Right.
But a lot of people didn't realize, I guess, how many trains were derailing throughout the country. We were only one of two companies that did train derailments, yeah. which you had us out east of the Mississippi for the most part, and then Holshire out west. Mm-hmm. And we cleaned up, at the peak of our derailment company, about 300 train derailments a month.
A month?
A month,
yeah. Oh, my gosh. Is there any, you may not know this, what's the reason for all of those?
It's many different reasons, but one of the reasons has kind of gone away, why I say our peak, which was probably about 10 years ago, coal trains was so heavy, and they were so mm-hmm. hard on the track, that when we were running coal trains left and right out of this country, they would damage curves, they'd break rail, mm-hmm. It'd do a lot of... damage that you really couldn't see
yeah.
until the next train came.
That's 300 a month. That's yeah. just amazing. That's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
And that job in itself, that business in itself probably would suit most people, just mm-hmm. doing that.
Yeah.
But that wasn't enough for him, was
no,
it?
No.
He goes on. Take us on down the road. What other things?
He liked to diversify.
Yeah.
So he got into the railroad short line business, which he bought a short line down in Memphis that ran from Bowling Green to past Clarksville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Cumberland, Tennessee is where it ends at. And also Bargetown, which was his first one, mm-hmm. was where the Bargetown Old Kentucky Dinner Train is, was the first
right.
rail line that he ever bought. And then he acquired 500 miles of track up in Pennsylvania, which is our largest
okay.
short line.
Pretty good. That's pretty good track, 500 miles.
That's a lot of track to keep.
Yeah.
Keep going.
When he bought the short line in Bardstown, did he buy it thinking that he would do a dinner train? Because that's kind of unique, or did that just kind of evolve?
That just evolved. No, that wasn't the reason. I mean, the reason was for the freight. I don't think he ever wanted to be in the restaurant business, and he joked many times and told people that was the one business that he couldn't make money at. It just continuously lost money.
Yeah.
But if we can break even with the dinner train, we're happy, and it's a great promotional item. It's
sure.
great for our employees. All our employees get two tickets
sure.
a year to go out
yeah.
and take their family on it.
And folks, if you've heard of it, I know, but if you've never been, put that on your bucket list. It's an enjoyable. We've been fortunate to go one time, and it's enjoyable to go. And it's not only fun to ride the train, and the food is excellent, guys. I'm telling you, you will not go away disappointed at anything to do with the dinner train. It's very easy to find. Just go online, My Old Kentucky Dinner Train, get your tickets and go. It's nice. And they even have like, special things like at Christmas and Halloween
they
and all
do.
That
they
kind
have,
of stuff, too.
Mystery dinners.
Yeah.
Where they hire actors that come on there and mm-hmm. kind of do a mystery train. They have Valentine's Day specials. They have Mother's Day specials
yeah.
coming up. And
a lot of fun.
Yeah, they do.
So he does a dinner train. He's got the short lines mm-hmm. going, and the company just gets bigger and bigger mm-hmm. and bigger. One thing that he does here in our county that is plain to see as he decides to build a bigger place.
Yes.
And he goes to the bypass, and that's where you are now. That, you know, Jessamine Station is great, but there's only so much you can do out there.
Yeah. And that was a big decision because we moved into Nicholasville.
Yeah.
We got to pay Nicholasville taxes.
Yeah, and that's part of it. That's right. Built that place big enough to hold his aircraft. Eventually, and a lot of people may not know this, actually has a runway which connects from bypass, I guess, over to Jessamine Station. In fact, I think there's a gate to come out through there over close to the house, isn't there?
There is, yeah. It cuts right through to the hangar.
Yeah. So kind of making it to where it's really convenient, and as a business owner and as big a company as this is, you know, wasn't wasted time to go to Lexington Airport. You know, let's get it done here. So he was able to do that.
When he moved the depot that sits on Nicholasville Road, it used to sit on Jessamine Station, as you know, and when he was looking at moving the depot from Jessamine Station over to Nicholasville Road, I told him, I said, there's no way you're going to drive that thing over to where Nicholasville Road is, because you either had Short Shun to go down,
which is not easy,
or you had the bridge at Jessamine Station, the railroad bridge.
Right.
And he said, I'll get it, babe. And I said, I know he can't do this. So he took off the porch and they drove that building right down Jessamine Station. I said, I know that he cannot make it down that, through that railroad bridge. And I'm driving back down Jessamine Station. I see that depot going right down the runway. He took it right down the runway. He done thought way ahead of me because he outsmarted me on that one. I've thought for sure there was no way he was getting that over
there.
That's
amazing. And I'm glad that he was able to take that over there to be a permanent part and to remind not only people, but him, where I started. It tied the past to the present, and that was cool.
Sure.
Really cool. How many employees do you have? Now, I'm not just talking about out here. I'm talking about total.
Total.
Yeah.
We have a little over 1,600.
Wow. Yeah. And they're spread from where to where? Pennsylvania to down?
Spread
everywhere.
From Tucson, Arizona to up to upstate New York and down south to Atlanta and Louisiana. We have, right now, we had just started, about the time of his passing, had just started a switching company that we have 25-plus locations around the country now.
Now, the depot used to be, down in the curve, down where if you ride by the place with your windows down, it sounds like a train the way he's got those things set up. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go sometime. Just go around that curve, take your window down, and listen. But is it used now for, is that a parts?
That's our shop. That's where we work on all of our equipment that comes in and comes out. We maintenance all the equipment. We have a welding shop where we can build just about any part for any piece of equipment. And it's that metal shop is terrific. It is a class A act over there. It's really, really neat. And we also do a little bit of our locomotive building over there. We also build locomotives.
Yeah. Wow. Something you mentioned in one of the things you just said, and I want to emphasize this. You said the word employees, and you gave tickets to the dinner train. One thing that I'm aware of, Ricky Corman took care of his employees in a lot of different ways, and it wasn't just giving them railroad dinner train tickets either. It was taking care of these employees. Because I remember one time being down at the old Jessamine Station location. I mean, he had people cooking lunch for those guys.
Sure.
Seems like he had a gym.
Yeah, we do.
And I know it's your new place because I've seen it. Bicycles that people can ride. Of course, Ricky was big into taking care of yourself. He was healthy. He ran marathons and all that kind of thing. But one thing he did, from what I know and what I've seen, he took care of his employees. He realized that was what made him.
He did. He took care of his employees. Before it was popular to take care of your employees, before Google and Yahoo had all these facilities, where made working not so miserable. He was ahead of the curve there.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it was just like with the fireworks that I mentioned a while ago. I remember telling him one time, he called me one time. He was nice enough that he would give some tickets to, mm-hmm. to different organizations in our office and different ones. And I told him one time, I said, you know what? I said, I do appreciate these. I really do. But you make sure that you're not giving us any that would take away from your employees, because that's what it was for. He originally started that all for the employees, didn't he?
He did. We started for the employees, and he made sure that the employees were taken care of first. With the 4th of July, we even had the employees come at 3 before we'd even let guests in at 6.
Right, and should. They deserved every bit of that. And I guess employees came in from all over the country for that thing, didn't they?
They did. They came in from a wide range. And last year was our last year that we had the company picnic on the 4th of July.
Right.
And the reason being was because we got to the point that it was a very public event, and mm-hmm. we could not make it as employee oriented as what we wanted to.
And you should, because they deserve it. It is an employees, and they're important.
We're still going to do the fireworks this year, and they're going, and we've increased the budget of the fireworks. They're going to be bigger and better than ever for the county. But we're going to do our employee picnic in September.
Yeah.
It's a little bit easier for our employees to get there in September.
Yeah.
One of the big issues we had was a lot of our employees liked taking 4th of July camping trips and family vacations around that time. And we don't want to take away from that.
That's right. No, that's good. We look forward to seeing the fireworks, because I know they'll be great. He really liked doing that, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He really did.
One day we were out there, and I can't remember what the guy's name was, but there was a fellow that did music that did a lot of rockabilly singing, kind of like Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah, Jason D. Williams. That's Jerry Lee Lewis's son.
Son.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to Ricky while we were out there, and he just was beaming that this guy would come and sing, and he was so proud. He said, man, he was just tickled to death to hear this guy and how good he was. Ricky, you know, the fireworks was one way that he could give back to his community. Even though it was employees, he did give back. And a lot of people took part of that. And Ricky did a lot of other things for the community, too. And the company still does. But I know the other day on TV, I saw a promotion for the run for Chrysalis House that's coming up. And a lot of things. In fact, we just have been announcing the Taste of Jessamine County at your all's hangar, and a lot of organizations that the R.J. Corman group has supported for years, whether it was Little League Baseball or all kinds of different ones, and still do. But he gave a lot to this community that he called home. I mean, this truly, and Will more specifically, in that area of the country, that was home. That was it.
It was home for him. That's where. The most important thing to him before he passed away, he told me many times, he got treated up in Boston for his cancer. And he told me many times that I do not want to die in Boston.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to die in Nicholasville,
Kentucky. I want to be home.
And we got him home about, let's say, 24 hours before he passed away.
When did he find out he had the cancer? Do you remember the year?
Yeah, I do. I remember the month. May, this month of 2001.
So 16 years ago, and he found out, and tell us exactly what kind it was.
It was a multiple myeloma.
Which is the bone, is that correct, or the blood?
It's a bone and blood cancer.
Both of them.
Yeah, it affects the bones and spreads through the blood. It's a very rare and very, very tough cancer.
I was going to ask, I don't think I've ever heard there was any of this in your family anywhere. I mean, it was not a genetic thing, was it?
No, it's... not that we know of. I mean, they're not sure really exactly where he got it.
But it happened. And I think the thing about Ricky, he wasn't going to let it beat him.
No.
You know, Ricky lived a long time because, well, yeah, he had good care, but his attitude was a lot of it, too. And without that, you know, attitude will help heal you, folks. But he did. He was determined that he was going to try to lick this thing. And he, you know, I'm assuming that because it was so rare and so bad, for him to live, what year did he die?
He died in 2013.
So 12 years, was a long time to for anybody that had that disease to go through it. I mean, is that correct?
It was.
Yeah.
It, And the stage that he was in, he definitely outlived where most people mm-hmm. would be at. His doctors were continually amazed mm-hmm. by his progress year after year.
But he kept going, and he kept doing, and he didn't stop to the point that got one of those snow machines and mm-hmm. skiing in his backyard, I think, is the best I can remember. But still doing the running yeah. and then participating in those runs, and he was determined, I'm going to do this. I'm going to live my life to its fullest, and I yeah. think he did.
He really did. I mean, I never seen the cancer really stop him
yeah,
from doing anything right. that he wanted to
yeah.
do.
Yeah. He has done so much for our community and so much for his employees, and his name is known a lot of places. A lot of things that people may or may not know. He probably was one of the first people from this area that met Coach Cal. Because I think he was summoned to bring him up here, or the story goes.
Yeah, him and Luther Deaton, which yeah. is a very close friend of his. And
right.
the chairman and president of Central Bank, they went down to Memphis and mm-hmm. picked him up and brought him up here to Nicholasville, Kentucky. That's where he first landed.
And I remember we had on our program once before, Jay, I did a show on Clay Tankersley.
Okay.
And
yeah.
all his barbershop. And he was telling us about the time that somebody broke in and stole all of the basketballs.
All the basketballs.
And he was able to get them all back, and with the exception, I think, of the one for Cal. And I think your dad got that arranged to where he could replace that one, too.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He
did. A lot of good memories of Ricky Corman. If you could speak for him, and if Ricky could be asked, what one sentence do you want people to say about you after you're gone? What do you think it would be?
You know, that's a tough one. I think, like he had told many people, he always just tried to do what was right in life.
Mm-hmm.
And he would
mm-hmm.
hope that he did what was right in life and left the world a better place than it was when he got to it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he was very good to a lot of people. A lot of people remember him and miss him. And he was very good to this community. I appreciate you sharing this with us today. Time goes quick, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It does.
Well,
and there's so much more. If you want to learn more about Ricky or the company, just very easy to find. Just go to Google and put R.J. Corman in. You can look at their website. Some really cool pictures on there about things that they do. You can even see a picture of him in that backhoe climbing on the cars. And all of you can learn about his life a little more there too. And we wish you guys the best. It is hard to lose dad, is what I meant to say. I have, and it's tough. Especially one that you're with like you were, mm-hmm. and your brothers and sisters probably were too, but you're involved in that business, and I know that you work very hard with April and the rest of your family to make sure that business continues like he would want it to. And the nice thing is, and this is nothing, this I guess is probably one of the biggest compliments that I can give Ricky, because I know he had this all set up to continue.
Yes.
Once he left us, I mean, it's gone on without a hitch from what I can see as a public person.
Yes.
It's just gone right on. And it's not that you didn't need Ricky. It's just that Ricky was smart enough and savvy enough to make sure he did what needed to be done to make this thing go on without a hitch.
Yeah, he was a big, you know, he was the head cheerleader, as he called himself.
Right.
But, you know, he always told us, one monkey don't stop the show.
Yeah.
And he wanted to make sure that this company prospered. Mm-hmm. Not only survived, but thrived once he was gone.
Right. And it has. And, of course, you guys have learned from the best. I mean, you know what to do, and the work you do is you're to be complimented for carrying on his legacy. And I know that he would be proud of each of you, I'm sure.
Well, we had about 1,230 employees when he passed away. And today we have about 1,650.
Wow.
So we have grown quite a bit.
Yeah, you have.
In 3.5 years.
That's cool. Knowing that he would be proud, and that's great.
Yeah.
He's still with you.
Yes.
Yeah, he is. Good luck with the company, with your family, this new baby. And we were talking before the show, folks. We're trying to get his kids old enough where he can buy him a camper so he can go too.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule, Jay, to talk to us.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Anytime.
My thanks to Jay Corman for coming in this morning and talking about his dad, Ricky Corman, of the R.J. Corman Railroad Group. We appreciate you coming in every Saturday morning also and learning a little bit more about Jessamine County. We'll do it again next week. Also remind you, I'm on every weekday morning, my regular show, from 6 until 8 a.m., right here on Jess FM 105.9.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville, and they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here, still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.